This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
That's right. It's Sports Radio 610 in the loop on Sports Radio 610 to be specific. John Lopez, Reginald Adetula. We got Byron Matthews in for Figgy Fig. Nursing an injury, you know, he's day to day. We'll let you know when
he's not week to week.
No, he's definitely not week to week.
Yeah.
We'll let you know when we're ready to activate him. So stop asking. but right now, let's go around the NFL. And around the NFL is brought to you by Quick Assist, your no hassle solution to reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. That's QUICKASYST. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, so this was a very odd thing that popped up, and I'm not paying no money because it's not my fault. But
I brought it up.
This happened with the Dallas Cowboys. Their kicker, Brandon Aubrey, who's been one of the good ones at knocking down long field goals, it's been him and Kaimi that have been battling when it comes to 50-plus yard field goals. And the Cowboys are going to be in a bad way because they might just maybe not have him this week for a very weird designation, right? He has been selected in Tarrant County, which is where Fort Worth is up there, on a 12-person jury for a felony case. This was reported by the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And so the Cowboys let him miss practice yesterday for his jury duty, and now he's been put on
He's on the jury.
He might get sequestered or,
I looked at the case. It's not just a felony, but it's also felony assault with intent, which is bad. Which could last a while.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. So, if this lasts a while, and now, of course, weekends, I don't know if
Sundays. Nothing on Sundays. I dug in far too much on this case.
Good. Excellent. so, actually, what that means is we now go to our legal correspondent desk, John Lopez. John, more on the story.
That's about all I know. That's about the...
So, back to me.
The gist of it. But, which means, he could probably play because they're not doing anything on Sunday, but he's going to be missing practice. Because jury duty, as you well know, is usually a 9 to 4, something like that.
I mean, it's great that it's the kicker as opposed to the left tackle or something, right?
Is he going to be practicing in court? Doing some
mental reps?
Squats and, pantomiming the kicks and get a lawyer to hold the ball for him or something?
I have a feeling that if you're in the jury box, practice, or you bring a kicking net, that's not going to go over all that well. But yeah, that's such a weird thing. Now, of course, again, the only reason that this gets problematic is if he gets sequestered. And you know what? I would like to see that sitcom or documentary or whatever, because that just sounds like that'd be hilarious.
But, yeah. And the other interesting thing about this is the Cowboys actually were going to either pull some strings or state their case to get him out of jury duty. And he said, nah, I'll go. Now, he didn't expect to be picked, but I think he just, he was doing his civic duty, which was good for him.
I'm going to just go ahead and get into my conspiracy bag. Mm-hmm. Maybe he knew that they were flying to San Francisco this week, and he was like, I want to be a part of that mess. Last few times that we went there, they beat our keister.
Yeah, the way I put it is maybe he just doesn't want to be part of that festering boil that is the Cowboys organization.
That's a lot less nice than the way I said it. And it's not even just that they're going to get their keisters whooped against the Niners, and I feel fairly comfortable saying that with the doldrums that they've been in. Sunday Night Football, baby, everybody watching.
Oh, that's right.
In front of company.
That's right. Yeah. So, if it goes on and he can't make a flight to San Francisco, let's say it's a 2 or 3 week case, it gets pretty dang interesting.
It does.
Yeah.
So salute to Brandon Aubrey. Being a good citizen, I wonder, did he also vote? Has he done all of the civic duties?
Mm-hmm.
Jury duty, voting, did he do all of that in the week?
Yeah.
He's
going to have time.
Yeah, exactly. They're definitely going to have. Somebody said he could practice by kicking some lawyers or jurors in the butt. I don't know. Why in the
that's more
in
punting.
Particular?
Yeah, that's more punting.
Yeah, that is fair. That's more of the drop kick as opposed to like on the... Yeah. Okay, very good. Elsewhere around the NFL, we mentioned the Andy Dalton situation, the crash that happened. This weekend,
mm-hmm.
or Monday, I believe. And I did not realize that it reached this level. He was ruled out. Bryce Young will be starting.
Yeah, he sprained his thumb or hurt his thumb.
Yeah, I didn't realize to the level.
I feel kind of bad because you and I both, before the show and after, were like, he was fine.
Well, yeah, because
it could have been a lot worse. He's fine. They walked away. They didn't get transported.
That was the biggest note, was that they didn't get transported to emergency medical, to get emergency medical attention. But I thought the note about Andy Dalton being, you know, checked out by the team staff was just like precautionary. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it was to some degree. But it seems like maybe it mattered a little bit more that he got checked out by the team. So Bryce Young back out playing football again. How excited do you think the people of North and South Carolina are about this?
Excited?
That was the word that I decided to use, yes.
Excited, I don't know. But I definitely think they're intrigued. I definitely think they're intrigued in... and what they're going to get here with Bryce Young.
So, I mean, it feels like it's definitely going to be bad, right? Because it was starting to look bad with Andy Dalton anyways.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's going to be like a noticeable level of a different bad, or do you think it's just going to be the same level?
No, I think it's going to be the same thing. I don't know how much he can either improve or show, and just especially sort of kind of out of nowhere. You know, he was being the backup, although he's going to get the full week of practice now, apparently. But I can't anticipate Bryce Young all of a sudden turning on a switch, you know?
Another thing around the NFL, there was a lot of people when this man lost his job, being the first head coach to lose a job in the NFL, that said, hey, he has a connection with DeMeco Ryans. Could he possibly end up on the staff? That man being Robert Saleh, who lost his job with the Jets as the head coach a few weeks back, with all the news and the consternation and the hand-wringing and all that. Well, he is going to be working for staff, and it's not the Texans, although there is that similar kind of San Francisco connection. Saleh is joining the Packers in an advisory role. Seemingly, he's going to not help the defense, which apparently is fine enough as is, as you evidenced, right, this past weekend. But in a way to help the offense, right, obviously bring that defensive eye to the offense and help them adjust, which makes sense because that means he'd be working almost directly with Matt LaFleur, the connection that he has to that San Francisco Shanahan coaching staff.
Man, Matt LaFleur is so smart. He is such a good, you know, leader and sort of he just understands the totality of football. This is a smart, smart thing. Get your defensive guy that you trust to work with the offense. And I know every team does the self-scouting
and all that. Yeah, a lot of
consultants
in these
things. I get all that. But to get Robert Saleh to help your offense, a guy that and the Jets have always, you know, say what you will about the Jets, they've always put together good defenses. And good defensive game plans. I think that's so smart. Kind of, you know, speaking of FOMO, we were talking about yesterday.
That was my response. It's just like, I wish I was smart enough to think about, you don't need him for the defense. Let him help the offense. Because if there's one thing that it feels like Bobby Slowick could benefit from, it's somebody saying, hey, I understand that maybe you don't have a ton of experience. In my defensive experience, this is how I'm attacking you.
Yeah.
Right? This is what I'm doing against what you've got going right now.
100%.
Like, I mean, obviously it's not Robert Saleh because he's up with Green Bay. Is there a way you can find somebody to help do that?
Well,
like,
maybe that's something that was on the table. We hadn't even talked about that. You know, get a defensive coach to work with the offense, whether it's Matt Burke or someone else. And share how they would attack that, because they've seen the similar offenses. They saw one last week.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And they were successful to a large degree.
Yeah, so I would be super, super intrigued in something like that. Unfortunately, the dream of Robert Saleh seems to be out of pocket for the
Texans.
He's
so smart. I mean, you just got to give him credit.
Who, Saleh or LaFleur?
No, LaFleur.
Well, yeah, we saw how smart he was as well. I've seen him do that and be the clear advantage coaching-wise multiple times in this NFL. All right, some other things around the NFL. I mentioned Derek Lamar Henry. I just realized that his middle name is Lamar today, and you know what? If there's no one thing I love, I'm going to use it, baby. I'm going to use that middle name. But Anthony Edwards, an NBA player who is never wanting for confidence,
mm-hmm.
said this, that he believes that he can bring down Derrick Henry. Clearly, the man that is referred to as El Tractorcito. What does that mean in Spanish, Lopez?
The tractor, the little tractor.
That's right. And ain't nothing little about it. He a big old tractor, like John Deere. During an interview with ESPN, the cover story that they did on ESPN,
magazine. Yeah, the one we talked about.
Anthony Edwards said that he would bring down Derrick Henry. He said, I ain't gonna pop him, but I'm gonna hit that bleep for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Which also, pause. but yes, Derrick Henry was obviously, you got it. If you're a reporter, that's the first thing you bring to Derrick Henry. Hey man, they said that reporters can be so messy sometimes.
That's fun.
Hey man, this is what they said about you.
Did you hear what he said?
Do you have a comment? And Derrick Henry did.
Do I think that Anthony Edwards could tackle me?
Put up the middle. You and whoever.
We're not here.
What?
I ain't gonna pop him, but I'm gonna hit
him. Hell no.
Do you agree with Derrick Henry that the only two words necessary to respond to Anthony Edwards saying that he was gonna hit Derrick Henry and bring him down is hell no?
I think, yes, I do, first of all. But hell no is about the perfect answer you could have. I mean, what is he doing? What is Anthony Edwards? Like, no one else brings him down. I mean, no one else can do it.
That is correct.
You know?
That is correct. Like, and I don't even know if, like, I think that Anthony Edwards is missing the wrong portion of this, which is, like, whether or not you could. Like, that's the wrong of the who, what, when, where, why questions.
Yeah.
The question that you need is the why. Like, why are you trying to... They don't pay you for that. Like, as a point of pride?
Yeah.
to show how macho you are? No.
That's
bad
no.
business decisions.
I don't care how confident you are. You better think again before you say that.
That's right. Yeah. Whenever I see a Ravens game this season, I pity the folks who have to play against him that have to bring him down. And, of course, on Christmas, that'll be your Texans.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, shout out to Anthony Edwards and the immense level of confidence. But, oh, I do not. Another instance. There's so many instances in sports where I look at them and I go, oh, that's why I'm different than all of them.
Yeah.
That's why I can't do it. Because I don't. That thought did not cross my mind.
I mean, I would laugh out loud. What? You think I could do what?
Right. Elsewhere around the NFL, another thing before we let you go here. The NFL is not letting up at all when it comes to these gun celebrations that teams that players are doing, whether it's like full, you know, kind of gun situation or even the...
We've gotten it down
to kind of like the finger point.
And now you got to point in the other direction first, else you'll get penalized.
You got to do a whole ordeal to start before you point.
Because it's so weird. Like they go, you can't do this.
Yeah, you can't just point with two hands.
But if you go like this and you go in one direction,
you can't do the gotcha finger guns.
Or you do little circles. That's okay. Like what? Okay, whatever. And that's what players are doing.
Yeah.
However, I found it very, very interesting that the NFL. I guess it was a press release. It wasn't Roger Goodell talking about how, yes, they want to that the celebratory gun celebrations need to stop. One day later. Okay, keep in mind.
24 hours later.
Yes. The gun celebrations need to stop, the NFL says.
Correct.
One day later, the NFL also announces that Machine Gun Kelly.
Correct.
Is performing at halftime of the game in Germany.
That's his name. That's just his name. They can't do anything about that. Just what he's called.
Hey, gun celebrations out. Halftime, Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah. Going back to the celebrations, they have issued 12 fines at least for what it deems quote violent gestures, totaling $154,000 and $154,720. First of all, six figures, $150,000 on fines. Interesting. Secondly, violent gestures. You mean like football?
Yeah. Yeah, like you know, getting decleated.
Which I guess they have tried to kind of limit some of the decleating type elements of this. But just funny all the way around.
I just thought that was hilarious.
I did as well. All right. That's around the NFL here on this Thursday in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it is a Thursday, so we get to talk to our guest, former Houston Texan, former defensive lineman, current Nigerian man, Ndi Kalu. We'll talk to
just
him
currently.
Next. Tula. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You got Lopez, you got myself, Reginald Atatula, Byron Matthews hanging out in Figgy's stead. Figgy getting healthy. getting himself together on this Thursday, so we wish him well. But he's going to miss a tried and true staple, which is when we get this fine gentleman on the phone line. He is a local real estate mogul,
mm-hmm.
former football player, defensive lineman in particular, and always gracious to give us a little bit of his time. His name is ND Kalu. ND, what's popping?
What's going on, fellas? So Figgy Fig got his new house, and now he's too good to show up every day. Is that what y'all are telling me?
Well, you know, I mean, take it for how you will, but I do believe he's probably got a lot of stuff still to do at the house.
He is sick. he has explicitly been told. We've been told explicitly that he is sick.
Yeah, we have.
John is the one out here believing that.
We have been told that.
All right, tell him be careful because the last thing he wants is a foreclosure. You miss many days of work, you start missing their mortgages. They come knocking on your door.
All right, I'll make sure to pass that information along, Andy. Let's talk about these Texans as they get ready to gear up for the Colts. Actually, I kind of want to talk about this span of games where you have three games in a span of, 11, 12 days really quickly. And particularly, you know, you have two games in five days. Like, what is that process like on the granular level for a player? I know that you obviously can't get out and actually physically do some of the practice type things. For you, what were these kind of tight, condensed portions of the schedule like?
You know, you'll hear different things from different players, and it also matters like where they are in their career, whether they're a starter, role player. But I used to love them, you know, Reggie, because what I didn't like about the NFL, and I know how important it is, was practice. But when you have these games and you have like the Thursday night game, you have a Monday night game, so you have shortened weeks, man, I just used to love the fact now Andy Reid at the time was our coach, and he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach, so he knows how to handle these things. But we didn't put pads on, you know, during those weeks. We didn't have those intense practices. It was more mental. And one thing every player loves is playing the game. So there was never a complaint, from me, like, oh, man, we have too many games in such a short time period. But I obviously and definitely understand the wear and tear on the body, especially the running backs, the most violent position, in football, having that quick turnaround. But me personally, I loved it because, again, I practice hard. I understand the importance of practice. But if I'm going to be honest, it wasn't my favorite thing to do. So those games being that close, it just meant less practice.
So with the kind of tight time period, it feels like we've also had this tight time period also match with a time where the offensive line, in particular pass blocking, all those things are very prominent. How easy or how difficult is it to make shifts and changes in what you do if that's something that they're doing in a time period that is that short compared to even the difficulty of a regular week?
No, that's a good point. When you make changes, you need the time not just to learn what the change is, but to actually practice it, get a feel for the timing, you know, to truly understand how it's going to work, to get those full speed reps before the other team comes in so you can see if these changes, to see how comfortable you are, I should say, with the changes. Now, I will say this. I don't like changes when you have a few weeks of bad play because what it does, subconsciously, the players start to question whether or not the coaches know what they're doing. You know, when you have one or two bad games and people might be laughing and saying, hey, have you watched the O-line the entire season? But they had an entire training camp. They had an entire offseason. You have to believe in what you're preaching, what you're coaching. And I don't know if a change is needed as far as play calling and technique as opposed to the way the players are taken to the coaching and understanding what they're supposed to be doing.
So do you think that's what it is? I mean, I think we can all agree whether you think it's just not reaching its potential or it's just bad. Mm-hmm. The offensive line play is a clear topic and hindrance. I mean, what do you think it is that has been holding them back?
That's a great question. Now, again, if I knew the right answer, I wouldn't be talking to you, Yahoos. I'd be getting paid millions of dollars.
That's right. But,
you know, doing what D'Amico's doing. But no, all jokes aside, even if I was, I'd still be talking to y'all. I'll say this, John. There were some plays where a guy goes untouched and hits your star quarterback. Like, to me, that's not technique. That's not physical. That's a mental breakdown. Like, anytime somebody comes untouched, you're not saying, like, oh, you know, he's bending at the waist and that's why he got beat on that pass block. Or, his certain techniques just weren't – he didn't punch at the right time. That's why he's getting beat. That's like, no, somebody forgot to get who they were supposed to get on that blitz. Somebody didn't realize when you're counting outside in and you're responsible for the one guy, the two guys, outside and you count outside in, if there's a blitz, the blitzer, the cornerback blitz, the safety blitz, he becomes one, and now the nine techniques becomes number two. Like, somebody, there was a mental breakdown there. So some of the mistakes that I'm seeing that caused the sacks, that caused the quarterback hits, I saw more issues with what I perceive to be mental breakdowns than just actual technique.
Okay, Andy. So I think what we're going to do is you're going to do for In the Loop what apparently Robert Sala is doing for the Packers, which is, you know, just kind of help us self-scout in some ways and get some things. So from a defensive mindset perspective, one of the things that has
Robert Sala, he already got another gig?
Yeah, man. Yeah. He's helping the Packers. He's helping their offense by kind of like self-scouting them and giving them ways that he would attack them. So they're only going to get stronger.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. He's a football mind. That was a blank show in New York.
Correct.
Man, I'm so glad to hear that. Usually I do listen to y'all, so if y'all talked about it, forgive me. But
it's okay.
But Robert,
you out here buying up Houston. It's cool. I understand how it goes.
But to hear that he's already got another gig, I'm not surprised and I'm happy for him. Okay, so you said do the same role for
yes.
the
yeah. Yeah, and I want to start here with this with the offensive line and everything. I love the way that you were breaking down kind of the ways that they set protection outside in, counting in, and those types of things. How much do you think it's hurting them from what you're seeing, the condensed formations and having those wide receivers and tight ends in tight? I know that you want to get everybody involved in the blocking game, but how much – from a defensive line perspective, are you able to tee off because of the kind of confusion and, you know, the various different looks that you get from everybody being in so tight?
I'll say this, with the type of receivers and the type of playmakers they have, and when you factor in Joe Mixon, what he can do out of the backfield as a pass catcher, as a running back, I am surprised that they don't run more spread. I'm surprised that they don't spread it out a little bit more. You know, when you have a guy like Tank Dell, obviously when you have a guy like Diggs, we know Nico Collins is out. But with those quick, twitchy, fast guys that you just want to get them the ball in open space, if I'm a defensive coordinator or now a defensive consultant, when I'm watching the offense, I'm going to slow it. And I'm saying, you know what? When you're in this personnel and you spread it out, and when you motion, I don't want to get too technical, but if you motion Tank Dell here, now I'm going to be forced to have a safety on him, and that's a bad matchup. So those are some of the, if I was a defensive-minded consultant coming in to kind of give my point of view to the offense and the offensive coordinator, I would be looking at it at ways to figure out, no matter what adjustments I make, you're going to put Tank Dell on a safety, or even better yet, Tank Dell on a linebacker. I'll be trying to show him, no matter what calls I'm making, these are the bad matchups for me, and you have to spread it out. You have to, what we call, explode the personnel. When everybody's bunched in, it's easy to read it off. Like, if you have everyone bunched in and you have a linebacker, I'm trying to think of it in a basic way, a linebacker who's matched up against the two receiver, it's easy to say you're matched up against the two receiver unless it becomes so-and-so. And then that's when the defensive back will take Tank Dell or Diggs, and then the linebacker knows that he has to switch off. Like when we were playing this greatest show on turf, Reggie, you might be too young for that.
I know what's happening here, man. I love Torrey Holt's one of my guys, man. I love that.
Okay, so there was one year when I was with Philly, and this is when we had one of the top-ranked defenses, and they exploded out because I was what's called the joker position. It's a stand-up linebacker slash end, but I was in coverage. But I'm supposed to read from sideline to the tackle, one, two, or three, and I had the number three receiver, which is typically a running back or tight end. So, you know, I could match up against that. So they were smart. So they figured out a way to put in the formation where Isaac Bruce ended up being the number three. So I remember I lined up on him, and God bless Brian Dawkins, you know, the best safety to ever play the game. And this is the middle of the game, national TV, so I'm lining up head-to-head with Isaac Bruce. He smiles, and I'm like, oh, man, this dude's about to make me look. I look behind him, and I look behind myself, and Brian Dawkins taps his helmet. He's all, no, I got him, Kalu. You take the number two, who ended up being the number fullback. And I was like, thank you, sweet Jesus. And I just went out there. So my point is, they manipulated the formations where you get bad matchups. So that's what I would be doing and telling the offensive coordinator, here's how you get the best matchups with these explosive receivers that you have.
Give D'Amico a call, man. I mean, come on.
Don't worry about it. I'll clip it up and we'll just send it to the people that need to get it. You already did it. We did it.
Hey, let me ask you this, though. I wondered a little bit about what we were going to get about from D'Amico Autry, you know, coming in cold. And he's been in the program and he's been in training camp. And he ended up just getting about 48% of the snaps and really didn't necessarily like play badly, but didn't stand out either.
Right.
So I say that to get your thoughts on that, you know, moving forward. But also, what could we possibly expect from Devin White, the linebacker they just acquired, because he hasn't been in the program?
You know, as exciting as the headline is that they signed Devin White, just what you said, John, I was like, the expectation for me is he gets in, he gets comfortable with the playbook, and maybe in another 2 or 3 weeks we see him make an impact. Does that mean he doesn't play for two or three weeks? I doubt that. But I'm not expecting Pro Bowl Devin White, that we saw previous years. And with Autry coming back, I expected him to get 20, 25 plays. Keep in mind, as productive as he was with the Tennessee Titans last year, he's still in his 30s. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like he has to kind of play his way into shape. I don't care how hard you work out. There isn't anything like actually playing football. So I expect this upcoming week we see a little bit more where his name gets called, like Tim Settle. Tim Settle, I thought, had an amazing game, mm-hmm. Playing inside this last week. And even the week after that, that's what I'm expecting to see, the defensive tackle who's capable of getting you double-digit sacks. But as far as Devin White, that's one of those deals. I just feel like, man, that's a cool name. It's a cool signing. But there's a reason why, and I'm not talking trash. I've been there. There's a reason why the Philadelphia Eagles cut him on October 8th.
Yeah.
All right. One more thing with our guy, Andy Kalu, here in the loop. A couple days ago, and I know you're involved with Texans Radio and all Texans All Access and all those things, Nick Caserio, in his meeting with Mark and John, he was asked about the candy, what would be his favorite candy if he even ate it, and Halloween candy. And he let us know that his baby girls, that they got to give up 3/4 of their Halloween candy. And we found that as an indignity, right? Mm-hmm. First and foremost. But second of all, that got us thinking as to, like, what are the things that you did as a kid that you got away with and your parents never knew?
See, because I said that there's no way that's true, that his girls are probably hiding the candy underneath the pillow or something.
So I would like to ask you, is there anything that comes to mind from maybe your childhood that you sneakily got away with that your parents never knew?
Oh, yeah. So, this, having Nigerian parents,
that's
very
right.
Strict, mm-hmm. I'm the only guy on the varsity football team who had like a 9:30 curfew. But at the same time, my parents, they slept hard. So at about 10 o'clock, when they fell asleep, that window would crack open and I would just sneak out.
Not a baby.
Every single weekend. The first couple weekends, there was this rush. I was nervous. But then it just became like, okay, they're asleep. Let me just go out this window and my boys would be waiting for me. And they would push their car down the street, then start it, which is stupid because I don't think my parents would have heard it. And I'd be out till 2-3 in the morning, sneak back in, and nothing ever happened.
You never got caught?
For about a good year and a half.
Okay.
One time,
yes.
My senior year, I come to climb back into the window and it's locked. And I was
talk
about the worst feeling in the world.
And then
I knock on the door and my dad opens. Yes. I got the threats of being sent back to Nigeria. So, yeah, and I never snuck out after then again.
They weren't mad. They were just disappointed.
Oh, no, they were mad.
No, they were hot. They were hot as fish grease. They were mad.
Well, we're glad that you made it past that time period because, that was a point where it might have been the end of you. It's quite possible. But we're glad that you made it. You played great football and you always have a great visit with us. We appreciate you giving us a little bit of time. ND Kalu.
Man, I appreciate everything y'all do. I'll talk to y'all next week.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, indeed. ND Kalu, as I established, current Nigerian. I was talking to Parker in the hallway, and he's like, "Does that mean that he wasn't a Nigerian?"
Yeah, exactly. He's a Nigerian now.
No, he's absolutely not. And if that story doesn't tell you anything, he's always been a Nigerian. He had to deal with them parents. Although I think that's a cross cultural thing. Having those real strict parents, mm-hmm. You know what time it is. Man, I can only imagine how far your heart drops when you get to that window that you know you left open and it's locked, because there might be like a split second.
Oh, you know who
you're
did
like,
it?
Did I lock? And you're like, oh
no, dad did that.
Oh,
or mom.
No,
yeah, yeah.
Real problems. Yeah. All right, let's keep it going here in the loop, and let's talk about what's popping. We'll do that next in the loop on Sports Radio 610.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, and let's get into what's poppin' on this Thirsty Thursday. In fact, it's going to be Thursday out in Tomball at the Buffalo Wild Wings, where Clint and Ron will be broadcasting from. So you want to make sure to go pop out there. I know that there's always prizes and giveaways that get going out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in the area, or if you want to make a drive to hang out.
It's a big one. It's a nice one.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I haven't been out to
yeah,
that
it's
one.
A real nice one.
Okay. So
yeah.
go say what's up to the fellas.
Mm-hmm.
Get you some wings, get you some drink, and sign up. You know, register yourself to maybe win some prizes tonight or today.
Yeah.
This afternoon. There you go. All right. You would think I know how days work. I've lived for a little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit. All right. What's popping is the Rockets had their season opener last night. It was a home opener as well. And they welcomed in they had a good matchup, man. The Charlotte Hornets, not a great team in the East. They do have LaMelo Ball back from injury, though. He is a really good player. But they were missing a couple of presumed starters on the season. Josh mm-hmm. Green, a relatively young guard. And then also Mark Williams, big-time center for him. Maybe not super well-known around the league, but a really solid up-and-coming center.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have those guys, so you anticipated, man, this Rockets team should be able to get a win on their home floor on the home opener of the season, where they anticipate trying to push themselves into the playoffs above that 500 record that they had last year. And for a good long time, it looked like it. Alper and Shangoon was throwing bowls and moving dudes around and finishing layups with Euros and all sorts of stuff. You had Jalen Green getting downhill, getting buckets, but they had an 18-point lead that ultimately dissipated, and they lose at the end of this one, 110-105 to start the season.
Yeah, and when you gave your passing thoughts earlier, which, by the way, I did enjoy, even though you may be hearing from people, but either way...
By the way, before you continue, is anybody a lawyer out there listening that would like to represent me in this litigious case that he's bringing?
Anyway, no, like it's almost watching this game and you walk away and you sort of like try to digest it and what's going on. It's almost as if, okay, well, I don't know exactly what I learned in that one, because the way I put it is like Jalen Green was terrific until he wasn't. And that's kind of the Jalen Green experience that we have come to know. Alperen Sengun, you mentioned him, eating glass, scoring like crazy, and then didn't. The rebounding, complete dominance in the first half, and then gave up, I believe, 9 offensive rebounds in the second half. So it's almost like, okay, well, we came into this game like, let's see how much progress they've made, what the preseason did. And then it's like, okay, we still need to see a lot more.
Yeah, there's still a lot of development. Like, yeah. One of the things that I kept coming back to is that this is a young team, and there's still a lot of appearances of being a youthful team. A lot of development still necessary. And I think, Jalen Green came out after he signed that extension talking to our guy Spo on mm-hmm. Tuesday and was like, look, these first 4 games are going to be really important. And step one, you saw some good things, but you didn't ultimately pass the test. And it gets this tomorrow. Today mm-hmm. is Thursday. Tomorrow represents the biggest of these 4 games, in my estimation, against mm-hmm. the Grizzlies. That is a team that has a lot of talent. They was out there hooping yesterday. And one of the things that's going to be really fun tomorrow is seeing the juxtaposition of Jalen Green, who has that athleticism, who has that scoring potential at a couple of levels, juxtaposed with Ja Morant, who is a significantly better version of him.
Proven, with all due respect, the proven version is what I was going to say, yeah.
And who also has the passing element down in a big way. So that's going to be really interesting. But unfortunately, the Rockets lose the first one. You saw some really good things, but they need to learn how to carry those things over for an extended period of time to get to the place that they want.
Nothing to worry about, but nothing really.
Nothing to worry
worry about?
No, I don't think. I mean, okay. It's just one game, first game.
Sure,
all
one
that.
Of 82, of course.
And so nothing real necessarily to worry about, but you didn't learn a lot that you thought maybe you'd see right out of the chute. You know, like the Jalen, the complete Jalen Green. You know, the all the things that I just mentioned.
Yes, 8-3-2, so they looked a lot like they looked last year.
That's what I'm saying. That was the Rockets' experience last night.
Well, they need to be better than what they looked last year.
Yeah.
Now, of course, like last year was also not a monolith, right? There was a lot of growth and learning over the course of the season. I posit that with a team this young, that there's still going to be there's going to be an arc. I just imagine that the arc would start in a little bit higher place. But game one out the way. Unfortunately, it's a loss. Maybe they can get 500 on Friday when they welcome in the Grizzlies. Elsewhere, some other things that are popping. Feel like we got to do the celebratory. I don't even think we can sing that song. I think that has that entered the public domain yet? The birthday song, because it is the birthday of the owner of the Houston Texans, Cal McNair.
How about that, Cal McNair? You know what stinks about his birthday? How many Halloween parties did he have as a birthday party?
Well, he's a week out. He's a week out from it. Like, Halloween doesn't swallow up birthdays like Christmas does.
No, but...
Right? Because Christmas, you got people saving months. Gifts are on layaway for Christmas, right? And so, if your birthday also falls within, like, let's say 2 to 3 week span,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the orbit and the gravity of Christmas is sucking that in just because, hey, man, we don't got the money to be buying you multiple gifts in this time of year.
No.
Halloween is not like that, right? Candy is maybe what people are buying. People aren't buying Halloween gifts, are they? Maybe they're, you know, trying to fashion...
I think he got tired of costume parties for his birthday.
I don't.
Okay. When he was a kid, maybe even in high school and beyond.
That's possible. And yeah. I realize that I'm talking about Cal McNair, and I'm like, oh, gifts are on layaway. Not with the McNairs.
No, I think.
What was I talking about?
I think they can cash. They can use, you know, good old American cash.
Yeah, his birthday
that.
Was fine. His birthday was never at risk of being swallowed up by another holiday. Let me tell you that for damn sure. By the way, though. Thinking about that from him, you know, child Cal McNair, adult Cal McNair, how do you imagine he spends his birthday? Like, that's something I think about sometimes.
Yeah.
Just like the lifestyles of the rich and famous, how does that differ?
Gee, what
from
do you
those?
Want for your birthday? I got everything I need.
How does that differ from those of us? And I am very interested.
I bet you he cooks. I bet you he does it. He loves to barbecue. He is a barbecue freak. I bet you he has family over and maybe make some. What is he gonna?
Just the old Tony Soprano type situation.
I bet it's a steak night. Yeah, but it's a good reverse sear maybe on a steak and a nice thick 2-inch steak.
Like he's happiest standing by the grill. Everybody in the yard.
I think that's his happy birthday.
Okay.
He's like, let me do what I love to do.
You can have the kids running around,
yeah.
grandkids and those types
yeah,
of things.
Yeah, it's more of a giving type thing than presents and such.
Okay, I see that.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Texans, a reminder that this weekend is indeed special in an additional way besides it being an opportunity to match up with the Colts
mm-hmm.
to finish them off on the season series and to further widen again your lead of the AFC South. Mm-hmm. It's also going to be Andre Johnson, Hall of Famer Andre Johnson, mind you,
yep.
his ring night. So he's going to receive his Hall of Fame ring of excellence at this game. I just wanted to highlight that once more because I feel like I have not said it. I don't think I've said it on the airwaves
mm-hmm.
yet. And I've thought about it not too often, but it feels like we should be pushing that. That should be something that is front of mind, that Andre Johnson is going to be celebrated. And just like my kind of take earlier about the banners,
yeah.
I don't know if that's for everybody else, but in that stadium and in this city, I think it's going to be important.
He's going to get his Hall of Fame ring, I believe at halftime, but he's going to be honored at some point during the game. He's going to get his Hall of Fame ring, and it's by Kay Jewelers. So I guess that's a Hall of Fame a partner or whatever, sponsor. So every Hall of Fame begins with K, so to speak. every Hall of Fame begins with K. I have a hot take on rings.
Okay. That's an interesting way to enter into
yeah.
this place.
I've got a piping hot take on rings.
You got it, dog.
And it has to do with this trend I am seeing, and you know who you are if you're listening. 713-572-4610. Just hold on. This is a piping hot take. And you obviously Twitch and YouTube as well. I have seen far, far, far too many Little League, Pop Warner.
Oh, here you go with participation.
Kids
trophies.
Basketball.
All right.
Championships. They're starting to give away rings. Like, I have this ongoing argument with a really good friend of mine from the Bite Me Cop podcast, Captain Caleb McCumber. His kid's a really good baseball player. And they go to these tournaments, Reggie, and if they win the tournament, they get a ring. If you win a championship in your league, they get a ring.
When did this start?
It started about 2 or 3 years ago.
And that is a little wild.
That's too much. Come on, man.
Especially because them babies losing their ring.
Come on,
how many
man.
Of y'all still have your high school ring? Because I lost
somewhere.
That twice.
Somewhere.
If it's not in my drawer, twice. I don't know where it is.
You still have yours?
God if it's in the drawer. You. If it's not, I don't know.
God bless
this
you.
This is an insult. Like, rings
right,
should...
insult is a
it's bad. An insult. Rings should be for college and professional championships and halls of fame. Like...
I mean, it's not the best use of money. I don't know if I'd call it an insult.
It's an insult.
All right.
Get a
go ahead and be an indignant.
Get a little trophy, whatever. Like, I'm interested in how many people are now seeing this around town. I'm like, wait a minute. They gave him a ring for winning that? A tournament. Just a tournament in, like, Dallas they went to. A baseball tournament. It's like, they're getting the kids rings?
Back in my day, they used to give us a ribbon, and we were happy about it.
We were happy with that ribbon. No, it's not even that. It's not even a back in my day. That's silly.
No, that is silly.
Come on, man. You're getting Let rings you. To 12-year-old kids?
I'm nobody's daddy, and yeah. I won't be anytime soon. However, if somebody was like, yo... We got to put in for these rings at the end of this. I'd be like, my baby's not getting a ring. I'll tell you that. He's just going to have to be sad watching everybody else pay for the rings.
This has nothing to do with, like, the participation trophy generation or anything. It's like, yeah, no, they've earned a championship. But you're giving them a ring? Textures are coming in hot. They gave my kid a second-place ring. A second-place ring. 100% Lopez. I had to sit there and pretend that I was proud of my nephew winning a ring.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not pretend you were proud of your nephew. That's an insane thing to say.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Like, I agree to some degree, but it feels like now we're going real harsh.
You're
like,
giving kids rings?
Pretend to be? I think you should be proud of your nephew just generally. Okay. All right.
Every weekend, AAU basketball, if they win, my son gets a ring.
That's why it costs so much to go and do it.
A ring.
It's like $1,000 to enter. It's because y'all buying all these rings.
Dude, it again, college, pro, and halls of fame.
Okay.
That's ring worthy. You know, little 9-year-old Johnny winning the, you know, the whatever Kingwood tournament.
Can't keep up rings.
Come on.
9-year-olds can't keep up with rings.
Yeah.
That ring is going to be lost.
I know someone who is a supplier for the rings, and he is now a millionaire.
I bet he is.
That's silly. Silly.
With Temu, you can get rings for the same price as medals and trophies. Okay.
I don't care. It's the concept of giving a ring is like super special.
not the 713's doubling down with pretend. Don't pretend. Be proud of your nephew, please. Just like straight up, flat out. Some other things. The Astros will have a new manager, and this is per Brian McTaggart. At double A, at double A.
Yeah, I was like, finish
sorry,
the sentence,
sorry,
please.
My bad.
Hurry
my bad.
Up and finish.
I stopped in the wrong place. My bad. Wait, hold on. Don't clip that. The Astros will have a new manager at double A.
Breaking
Corpus
news.
Christi with the hooks. Oh, my gosh. Oh, no.
The Astros will have a new manager.
All right, so I'm looking forward to whoever takes over for me after I'm fired. No, the double A affiliate Corpus Christi hooks will have a new manager. Joe Thon's contract was renewed. So that's the second kind of change within the organizational structure of guys and coaches. It feels like Espada and, you know, Dana Brown are starting to put their imprint a little bit more on this organization.
Yeah, I think that's the story. It's not so much, hey, a double A manager is getting replaced. I think it's more Joe Espada. And really, I think you can go back and probably speculate safely that, you know, even before this, there have been some buttings of the head, so to speak, with Dusty Baker at like certain things that he felt strongly about, whether it was Gary Pettis at third base or Joe Thon managing the double A team that Joe Espada was not down with. And so now they're making some changes there.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting to see how far this goes and what the effects ultimately are, because we mentioned Dusty Baker, as you said, like he spoke out recently about how, you know, he felt like he was not able to have some autonomy with the staff. Yeah, I guess I have to publicly apologize to Joe Espada because I kind of accidentally fired him in that instance, and I didn't want to do that. My bad, dog. In addition to that, a couple of updates that we're getting via my personal cell phone. Ron Hughley,
mm-hmm.
The man on the drive, he runs the show. He sent in a picture of the babies with some rings.
That's silly.
They look so happy, though.
I don't care. I love your
they
kids.
They look so happy to have some rings.
I love your kids, Ron. That's stupid. And by the way, I do need to abridge something else. Somebody texted, actually two people texted, about high school state championships. Okay, if you win a state championship in a team sport, yes, that's ring worthy. But there are certain things that are ring worthy, and kids that are eight. How old is that little one? Show me the picture again.
I don't know how old.
Probably
Ron's
what
kids are.
I would guess, six, five.
That's a good guess. Ron will let us know.
You're giving a 6 year old a ring.
I give him a ring pop.
Yes.
They probably enjoy that even more, right? Give him a little candy.
Yes.
And then finally, the last update. Figgy Fig, who is not here today, let us know. And I'll read this verbatim. Man, I got food poisoning thanks to my wife.
Oh.
He's blaming his lady.
Yeah. Food poisoning is a 24-hour thing, right?
I don't know. I don't be having food poisoning. Stomach of steel, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, stomach. Remember you said that.
By the weekend, I bet. Mm-hmm. By the weekend, I will be on the couch, writhing in pain, I'm certain. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, let's dive back into D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud. They both talked yesterday, and they had more interesting things to say, not just about the offensive line. We'll get into those next.